Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for having some fun with us and maybe even learning a little bit. And we're going to learn some stuff with Gene Greisman. Dr. Gene Greisman is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He is one of the smartest guys I know. He's the author of Time Tactics of Very Successful People. Also, an audio system, or I should say program called Path to High Achievement. And one of my favorite books on the planet, The Words Lincoln Lived By. I really love this little book, and it's by the guy who is one of the top Lincoln portrayers in the Milky Way galaxy. But more importantly, Gene Greisman is our friend. Gene, welcome back to the show.
I'll tell you, Jim, whenever you get that kind of introduction, how can you not be on your program? Whether it's true or not, who am I to argue?
Even if you don't like me, you'd come back for that, wouldn't you, Gene?
Oh, there's a quick one. George Bernard Shaw did a play, and he attended its opening a few years ago. And at the end of the performance of the play, there was thunderous applause and a standing ovation, and the impresario said, the playwright is in the audience. Would you come up and take a bow? So Shaw comes to the front. When the applause has subsided, a man in the back said, I think the play stinks. Shaw said, so do I, but who are we two among so many?
That's so funny.
Thank you for your kind words. If I'm the greatest Lincoln portrayer in the galaxy,
that's
I'm
right.
going to tell people they're saying that.
That's exactly right. In the Milky Way, in the entire Milky Way galaxy.
That's
Gene,
right.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for helping us celebrate our 9th anniversary. I wanted to ask you. We're going to get into some meaty stuff here in just a little bit, folks. That'll help you with your business. But before we do, I can't go any further. We're so hard on the heels of the most recent election, Gene. I can't go any further without asking you what you think Mr. Lincoln would say about all of the tussle that we've had between the Republicans and the Democrats, between one power group seeking power and the other group seeking power. He had a little bit of those kinds of tussles himself, didn't he?
Yes, but I don't want my yes to play into saying that our current president is a lot like our.
I'm not comparing individuals.
What I will say is this: in Lincoln's first inaugural address, he used an interesting phrase. He talked about the better angels of our nature. I think that's a wonderful phrase.
The better angels of our nature.
The better angels of our nature. In the first inaugural address, the Deep South states had already seceded, and congressmen had already packed up their belongings, and some had already left Washington never to return. But a few had hung around to see what this new president would say and what he would look like and hear his speech. And Lincoln made this wonderful, wonderful, passionate conclusion. And he said, we're not enemies but friends. We must not be enemies, though passion may now have divided us. And then he goes, when the better angels of our nature have spoken, then we'll be friends. And what's the contrast to that? I guess the bad angels of our nature, and here's what I feel. I think that there is in all of us the potential of being resentful and jealous and petty and angry.
Mm-hmm.
And And demagogues and politicians can pull this out of us and can appeal to our resentments and our angers and make us worse. And I think that along come politicians, leaders, who appeal to the better angels of our nature, who say, let us be forgiving, let us be kind, let us be generous, let us be more than we've ever been before. Let us realize that, that Democrats or Republicans, whatever we may be ourselves, that they too are Americans. And let us respond in love. And that's what Lincoln would say. Listen how he ends the second inaugural.
Hold on to that thought, Gene. I'm going to let you give it to us when we come back right after these messages. You don't want to miss this, folks. Dr. Gene Greisman's in the building. 2012, stay with us. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Gene Greisman, who's helping us celebrate our ninth anniversary on the air. Gene Greisman is the author, as you know, of a number of books and audio systems, but my favorite is The Words Lincoln Lived By. It's a, when you find that book, folks, don't buy one, buy two, because you're gonna, if you buy it as a gift, you're gonna want to keep it for yourself. So go ahead and buy two, and if you buy it for somebody else, for yourself, you're gonna think of somebody you're gonna want to give this to. So go ahead and buy two of them. Gene, you were just about to tell us a, you were just about to give us a the end of one of the inaugural addresses. It sort of yes, explains how Mr. Lincoln might think about what's going on today in politics.
Well, the first inaugural address, he uses that phrase, the better angels of our nature, which is a great phrase. And the second inaugural address, many people feel is one of the two finest things ever written in the English language, the Gettysburg Address being one of them. And he ends it with these wonderful words, with malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right. Let us strive on to finish the work we're in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne the battle, for his widow and orphan, to do all which may achieve a just and lasting peace. But that idea, with malice toward none, with charity for all. Certainly, he must have read the great 13th chapter, 1 Corinthians.
Yep.
Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity. Of course, the deeper translation is love, but
right,
it's love in its largest sense. And that, I think, especially in Lincoln's last years, just permeated his life. The second election, when he was reelected, was bitterly fought, and it didn't look as though he'd win. And then when he won, on election, when the election returns began to come in, and some of his political supporters were saying nasty things about some of his opponents who had lost, and saying they finally got what was coming to them. He said, you men have more in you of that kind of spirit than I do. I just never thought it paid.
That was his backwoods wisdom coming through there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The amazing thing is he didn't have speechwriters, did he?
He actually wrote his speeches, but he would give out drafts of them to let them react, let some people he respected look at them. And Seward, his Secretary of State,
right,
did react to the second inaugural address and wrote the first draft of what I just told you. Lincoln then took it, and we know what the first draft looked like, and we know what Lincoln did with it, and Lincoln turned it into music and poetry.
From prose to poetry.
Yes.
You know, Gene, sometimes, and they don't call me the king of Segway for nothing, sometimes when we're dealing with our customers, we have to call on the better angels of our nature, don't we?
We certainly do. And the way we call on the better angels of our nature is when they are complaining.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes their better angels aren't in evidence, are they?
No. Sometimes they're giving it to us with both barrels. So if you'd like, if you want to give some, get into some practical
ideas,
I would like to do that. In case any of your listeners have my book, The Time Tactics of Very Successful People, they can find more about this on pages 125, 126. But let me talk a little bit about how to receive a complaint. And I'm going to give three or four or five tips. First of all, whenever somebody is complaining to you, concentrate totally on the complaint. Drop whatever you are doing and pay attention to the complaint. If it's on the phone, of course, you're going to listen intently.
Mm-hmm.
But if it is in person, don't try to tinker with your computer or take another phone call or be distracted. Pay total attention. And that in itself will help you deal with the complaint in two ways. One, it tells the other person, I'm important enough that this individual is listening to me.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, it helps you to examine the complaint to see if there's valuable information in it that you can use. You see, what you should look upon a complaint as information that you didn't have to pay to get.
That's right.
You see, a lot of times when I go to hotels or rent a car, I'm asked to fill out a form. What did you think of this car? What did you think of this hotel? Well, when somebody complains, they're telling you what they think of you and your service.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting some information you didn't have to pay for.
And if they come in with a complaint, you have to realize, you know what? I better find a way to redeem myself here.
That is exactly right. Now, here's a point that I give to people, and that is for leaders. You have to create some psychological distance between yourself and the complaint, especially if it's harsh. Now, this takes practice. This is what the psychiatrist has to learn to do whenever he or she is hearing all of this troubling information, that you don't internalize it
right.
So much that you begin to think of yourself as a loser.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to think of, well, this is something that I didn't do well. Let me see what I can
right.
do to do it better.
Stand by, Gene. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, when you do this, you're going to have to call on, sometimes on all of your better angels. Ten Till, we'll be right back with our good friend Gene Griceman right after these messages. Stay with us.
Be afraid just as long as you stand. Stand by me.
Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
We're back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, celebrating 9 years of the Small Business Advocate Show this week. And very exciting. I'm so happy to be here with you. And
I'm so happy for you.
See there? I am so happy. I'm so happy that we got to meet. You know, if nothing else that I got to do while I was doing this show, I got to meet Gene Griceman. I would call that a good time well spent. Gene Griceman is one of my favorite folks on the Brain Trust and one of the smartest guys I know. And nobody that I know is a deeper thinker. I have to work really hard to stay up with him because he thinks so. But he does a good job of putting his wonderful thoughts into plain English. And, Gene, we appreciate that about you.
Well, I appreciate it. Let me sort of just sum up what I've been talking about.
Before you do, we must have your website.
Oh, the website, www.presidentlincoln.com.
Okay.
That's
and
presidentlincoln.com.
Can we sign up for your Achievement Digest
we'll
there?
Give them a free subscription to the Achievement Digest. If they'll send, there's a place to click on, and we'll do it, and they can say they heard me on your show. That'll be even greater.
That's right. I appreciate that. Go ahead and do that, folks. That's presidentlincoln.com. And they can find all your books there, too, can't they?
That's exactly right.
All right. So finish your thought now.
I just wanted to give about two thoughts, and then I'm going to give them a $1 million question to ask when somebody complains. First off, as I've said, when somebody complains, make sure that you create some psychological space. People who are losers, whenever somebody complains, are non-achievers, they say, I'm just a failure.
Mm-hmm.
A person who is a high achiever said, that just didn't work out. I'm going to do it better next time. And then also you've got to understand that if there's nothing doable in the complaint, shrug it off. Thank the person for taking the time to let you know, and then get on with your life. There'll always be a tiny percentage of people out there who won't like you no matter how hard you try, how talented you may be, or how good your product is. Don't let those kinds of people get to you. That's what I wrote a number of years ago in the book, and I still believe it. Now, here's the $1 million question. When somebody complains, ask this question. What can I do to make this right?
Say that again. Say that again, Gene.
What can I do to make this right?
That is the $1 million question.
Complaining. That's the, and here's the reason it's a $1 million question. If they keep asking it until they understand it's a real question, and here's what that does. That changes the environment from being a complaint-giving exercise to a problem-solving exercise.
And it completely disarms them, doesn't it?
That's right. And then say, what can I do to make this right? And then do not volunteer the solution. Let them request, let them suggest it, because often if you volunteer the solution, you'll be more generous than you have to be.
Well, not only that, they're probably going to be more reasonable than they would have been.
They will be. It's a great question to ask, and I do it all the time when people complain. I'm sorry this happened. What can I do to make it right?
But, you know, it's hard to find that in the marketplace these days.
But every once in a while, it does happen. I'll give you a quick one because I have a section on how to give a complaint.
All right.
And I got a call, personal call. Because I'd gotten bad service in a branch bank of the Bank of America, and I wrote a personal letter to the president of the Bank of America, who heads all the Georgia banks. Yesterday, I picked up the phone. He was on the phone and said, "I'm," and gave his name, and he said, "First off, I want you to know we messed up, and I want to call and personally tell you I'm sorry." Is that something?
How about that? Now, that's the way to build a strong brand. You know, Gene, one of my mentors told me a long time ago, we're not judged by the mistakes we make. We're judged by how we respond to those mistakes.
You're completely right. One of my friends who's a consultant, Alan Weiss, said, when he interviewed a top Mercedes dealership, he said, I have built my business with the way we handle complaints.
Yeah, it's the truth. Hey, Gene, give us your website one more time.
It is www.presidentlincoln.com.
Thank you for being here, Gene. Thank you for all the years that you've been a great member of our Brain Trust, and thanks for your friendship.
Well, I appreciate yours. All
thanks.
The best.
Gene Greissman, ladies and gentlemen. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and as you know, this program really is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.